Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. I know I've been gone a couple of weeks, and we appreciate Brother Perkins doing a good job for us. I don't think he continued along. If he did, I'm going to repeat him. But we've been going through the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter and verse by verse now for a good while. And we're pretty well finishing up chapter 6, but I'm going to ask you to go back there with me for just a little bit. And we remember that our key verse to the book of Revelation is chapter 1, verse 19. How do we rightly divide it? You can't study the Bible without rightly dividing it. Know what fits here and what fits there and what don't fit here and don't fit there. Some folks get all mixed up because they treat the Bible so different. They think everything in it is pertaining to them. You better watch out for that. It gets you in a lot of trouble. Some things it tells you not to do. Sometimes it tells you the devil's speaking. You don't listen to him. And sometimes it'll put you in the wrong section. Folks that are trying to keep the law and earn their way to heaven, still trying to go under the old Jewish law of the Old Testament and forget the grace of God. Sister Erica was just singing about and so forth. So we got to rightly divide. So in verse 19 of Revelation chapter 1, John was told, he's on the Isle of Patmos, exiled for his faith, old man now. He was the youngest of the disciples following the Lord during the personal ministry of Christ, before they crucified him, before the resurrection, of course. And we know that John grew old and probably was the last of the original 12. To be alive, and yet God still had a purpose. Sometimes we folks that are getting older, we forget God can still use us. And he still used John in a mighty way. You wouldn't know how the whole story ends if you didn't have the book of Revelation. So God gave it to John on the Isle of Patmos and gave it to him in vision. He symbolized a lot of things, but that don't mean you can't take the majority of the book of Revelation pretty literal. In fact, it'll identify what is literal and what is symbolic. And because something is symbolic, don't mean it don't contain a tremendous story and message behind it. I started noticing years ago, because I just got off the road getting back this week. And I remember when I first started noticing on the road, on the interstate, where you'd come to the exits. And anybody ever get tricked by getting off at the wrong exit? It'd say McDonald's or whatever you're looking for. Then you find out it's 10 miles on the other side of the mountain when you get off at the exit. You ever had that? Oh, that's bad. But anyway, I started noticing going up and down the interstate when they started putting pictures on the green signs, picture of a knife and fork. What were they saying? They were saying, we know you can't read. So we're symbolizing it. And we got the symbol and we knew the message. Sometimes that's true in the book of Revelation. And the symbol sometimes can take place of a volume of words. So we understand that. But this verse tells us to rightly divide it. It says, and John was given this, he was told to write the things which thou hast seen. That would take care of chapter 1, the whole vision, he saw it as God gave it. Number 2, the things which are. John lived during the church age, just like we do. He very likely was a pastor of the church at Ephesus one time. And church age was in his day, early church age. We're in the later church age, the last of it. But we're still in the church age until the church is called out as the bride of Christ raptured out. So the things which are, the church age, and then the things which shall be hereafter. After what? Well, after the church age. So when the trumpet sounds and the saved are caught up, we'll be in the things hereafter. Now, I don't mean we can't see the things of hereafter, coming hereafter, casting their shadow before them. I believe that's happening big time now. And so we can get to begin to read. I referred the other day to some of my sermons. I've referred to Revelation chapter 8 with a mountain and is going to fall from heaven, burning with fire, and burn up the green grass and the trees and all that. I believe that's nearing the end of a seven-year period given to the Jews after the church is caught out. But we can see some of that because right over here on the Cape of Florida, we have NASA shooting up the satellites and telling us all about it. And they say, oh yeah, we see this thing coming. They even predict the date of it coming, not that far off. Are they right? I don't know if they're right or not, but I know the Bible's right. And I know what it says is going to happen. Now, I heard the president refer to what some of his achievements, and he has achieved a lot more than we could ever thought he could under the circumstances and under the attack he's been under. But I heard him refer, we got the Space Force going. And space, he said, is very important. Now, he didn't say what I said about it. He didn't tell them a mountain burning with fire is coming. That would panic the folks. Say, how you know? Well, look how little it takes to panic them. Don't take so much, does it? Anyway, with that said, we can see some things coming that we know are coming down the pike. We don't know when. Some cases, like NASA doing the astronomy they do on it and checking where the planets and the junk in space. I saw this week. Did you see this week where an astronaut stepped out and lost his mirror in space? You saw that? I had one hand raised. Anyway, he lost his mirror. I don't know if he was primping or what he was doing or how big the mirror was. I don't know, but he lost it in space. All right, you can look for it tonight when the stars come out. All right, I'm playing with you now. I hope you understand sometime when I'm joking. Every now and then I get in trouble because I say something facetiously, and then I have it thrown back at me like, oh, you're dead serious about that. Nah, you take yourself too serious when you do those things, amen. Revelation chapter 6, we move through the rapture now in chapter 4. John's caught up to heaven in chapter 5. In chapter 6, the seven seal book that he was worthy to take from the throne, Jesus was worthy to take from the throne, is beginning to be opened. Those seals were opened, and the first four of them are referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's just a big word for the book of Revelation. That's all the word means is revelation. And those horses tell things coming on the earth. Now, that's future, but it's not hard to see those things casting their shadow ahead of them. For instance, the red horse of war. Boy, war talk's going on all the time today. And big time. And there's a nuclear threat. And scientists that know what they're talking about have again taken one of their measurements, which is a big old atomic clock. They put out an atomic magazine. I've been following it ever since I've been in the ministry just about. I think the first sermon I preached on it was probably 1968. That is a while ago. And big clock on the front of the magazine, and showing the hands of the clock. You've seen me illustrate it here in the past. I've seen it as close as 4 minutes to midnight. I've seen it backed up as much as 10 or 15 minutes. But what's it signifying? It is picturing the fact that the world believes they have the power to blow itself up. I kind of doubt that. I think God's in charge of that. But they worry about the nuclear exchange. We went through the Cold War with the mutual self-destruction that was supposed to prevent Russia from shooting at us first and us shooting at them first. Well, maybe it did work. I don't know. It's still in the news today. And the last time I looked at the Atomic Magazine, they had moved that midnight hour to within about 3 minutes. And so we do understand some of this. We're way ahead of that because we have the Bible. And we've looked at God's Word. We know what it says. So as we move through these chapters, move into chapter 6, we come down to the fifth seal being opened. And the fifth seal reveals a bunch of martyrs under the altar crying out to God, how long before you give us satisfaction of having vengeance on our enemies that killed us? And the Lord told them, in a little while, you wait a while longer, till others are killed like you were killed. Then we looked up in Revelation chapter 20, the method they were killed by, and the method was decapitation, cutting their heads off. Now, not too many years ago, that would have seemed strange to us. Don't seem strange anymore, does it? We begin to see these things as they grow closer and closer. And whether it's Islam that gets in power enough to chop off heads, or whether it's the guillotines that even governments like America are storing up. And that's a fact. I had one of my secretaries several years back check on it to see if it was true. Found out that my own home state, the promised land of Georgia, was storing up guillotines. I wondered, what in the world? So we called a check. It was proved out. Yes, they are. What was the excuse they give? Well, it was a lame excuse. I'll give it to you and see how you accept it. The excuse was, we're storing them up because all these criminals that die under capital punishment, some of them would like to donate their organs to science or to somebody as a transplant. And we can't burn them in the electric chair without running the organs. We can't gas them in the chamber without it fouling up their organs. But you can chop off their heads and you can get the organs real fresh. Now, that was the excuse. That was the official answer. And it don't make a lot of sense. Because, number one, they're not doing that many executions. In fact, fellow, the judge sentenced him to death, that means he'll probably go through 40 appeals and live the life of Riley until finally, 20 years later, he may, or he may not, go to the electric chair. I mean, that's, we know what truth is on that. So it don't make sense. That thing don't make sense. Not that many of them are wanting to donate their organs. It just don't make sense, does it? And yet, that's the official excuse. And the other thing is, I immediately thought of how many shaves I could get out of a razor. You don't wear the blade out the first one. You men know what I'm talking about? If your wife don't get it, use it, you can keep on shaving with it a while, right? All right. Y'all better wake up your sense of humor with me again, because I haven't lost mine yet. I've lost a lot of things, I agree. But I still hold on to that. Somebody said sometimes we laugh at things because we can't do nothing else about them. All right, chapter 6 ends up. These martyrs are complaining under the altar. And then the very last verses of Revelation chapter 6 tells how the world is going to have something to panic about, what they're going to see coming. And every now and then when something happens in the heavens, it gets the headlines, like the moons we had not so long ago. And it says in verse 12, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, we've had the blood moons. We've talked about that with you before. Sky turning black. Many folks know that big volcanoes, when they erupt, they do that to the sky, and they do it a long way off from where that volcano actually is. And then it talks about the stars of heaven falling to earth. And so somebody says, oh, a star's too big to fall to earth. Well, it might start off pretty big, but before it got to the earth, it'd be pretty small through the atmosphere. But I don't think that's what it's talking about. I think it could even be talking about stars that are personalities. We talk about that in Hollywood, don't we? Don't we call Hollywood the place of the stars? Have you ever seen that big sign on TV? They show it all the time. On the side of the mountain says Hollywood. I was out there preaching, and I had to stay in a motel where I could walk right out the door. It wasn't a very expensive motel. I could walk right out the door, walk across the pavement, and if I'd had the strength, walk right up there to that sign. And I thought, that's what I've been seeing on TV for years. But don't we call those people stars? Stars because they're good at play acting. You ever think about that? I got a lot of respect for real heroes that have done something. I'm not too high on the fellow that just knows how to fake dying and fake crying. All that business is play acting. As a kid, did you, some of you girls or ladies when you were little girls, Did you ever play with your dolls? Did you ever set up a tea set? Did you ever say, I'm playing like something? Okay, this has its place at certain times, but let's don't put play lacking on the top shelf that we put it on. All right, I've got pet peeves. The Oscar shows that come on TV. Who wins the Oscar? I don't know Oscar. Don't care about him. To me, it's a mutual admiration society where the group gets together and pats each other on the back for the play acting they did. Or the Academy Awards. All right, I get off of it. I did see, though, where they've they're banding Gone with the Wind. Did you see that? That was a classic. It's rough, telling a lot of truth, a lot of bad times in American history. We've gone to the place of destroying our history, though. Somebody's made a very accurate statement that if we ignore history, we're going to have to repeat it again. Somebody else said, all we learn from history is that we don't learn from history, which means we're going to repeat it again. Going to have to pay the price again. And that's terrible, terrible business. But the stars in Hollywood are people that we think about as people. Stars are going to fall. Now, we've seen star showers or meteor showers and all that business. It's going to be a scary time. I will guarantee you that if they came on TV and said, go out tomorrow night at 9 o'clock and watch the stars, we're going to have a star shower. Most of us would like to see that. We've seen it before. I purposely got up one time at about midnight or 1 a.m. to watch one of the moons change. Did you do that? And I'd probably do it again. Something in the sky catches our attention, don't it? I'm rambling now, and I hate it because I want to go a little further here. But did you see? It hadn't been all that long ago. Did you see over one of the big cities? I'm thinking New York. That they actually made some pretty solid pictures. And it looked like human bodies up in the air, floating, flying. Did anybody see that? Oh, yeah. They've done that in a couple of times. Mexico and a few other places have had some pretty good films on it. This was on the regular news, though. And when it popped on, one of the news ladies, this was not on her prompter. This was not on her script. But when she first saw it, she said something like this, oh my God, that looks like the rapture. I thought you know more than we thought you knew. Amen. Oh yeah. I don't know what it was. They never described what it was. They don't know what it was. But it sure got everybody's attention there for a little bit. And there was another case. I know one thing leads to another here. There was another thing, and this was in Mexico. And it was a good film of it. See, everybody's got, they'd make a video now with their phone, so we're getting a lot of stuff coming in. And this one was, it showed this thing flying over. And it looked exactly like you would see a picture of around Halloween. It looked perfectly like an old-fashioned witch on a broom. That was quite a little time of it, moving over before it went behind the tree line. She was just sitting on that broom, that pointed hat. Everything looked just right for what you see at Halloween of a witch depicted on a broom. And it flew over, and they had a video of it. I thought immediately, Nancy Pelosi has gotten out again. But anyway, that was just my opinion. There was all kind of opinions about what it was, but it looked just like, well, looked like a witch to me. Amen. Move on back here. Let me get back here. The stars falling is going to get attention. They're going to be like untimely figs. Now, I grew up somewhat as a little kid under a big fig tree, one of the biggest fig trees I've ever seen. and ate a lot of figs. My goat also was with me, and he ate a lot of figs. But untimely figs means those that are shaken off the tree prematurely. And that's what it says here in the context. So the stars are going to come in an untimely way. It's going to be something different. And then it says that the heavens are going to be departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And if you know what an old-fashioned scroll is, when you open it up, it says, and every mountain and island was moved out of their place. The earthquake business, the shaking of the earth. I may have shown you this, I don't know, but you know the Bible predicts this earth-shaking thing. Scientists are worried about the tilt of the earth. I forget now, what are we, 20-something or 30 degrees off kilter? You've seen a globe, man-made globe. We've studied it in school. Well, it don't set straight up, does it? It sets tilted on its axis. And the earth sets tilted. And while some would say, by the way, the big earthquake a few years ago in Japan, they claim it moved the earth by just a fraction. That was in the news. Anyway, the Bible talks about a time of the earth being tilted. All right, let me see if I can think where. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's try Isaiah 13 and maybe 21. I think it's in there a couple of times. Let's go to chapter 13, see if I've got something marked. All right, here we go. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13. That's interesting how the 13s match up there. That's a negative number. You know that, don't you? Revelation 13, mark of the beast. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Now you know where God's wrath falls? It falls in the tribulation period, especially the latter half of it. And here it says that the earth's going to be moved out of its place. If you go over to, while we're in Isaiah, go over to Isaiah chapter 24. And I probably have shown you this, but let's look at it again. Verse 20, Isaiah chapter 24. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof, what's that? That's the sin of the earth. Thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones, Satan and his crew, that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, the kings that have obeyed Satan and followed him, their time's coming. It's going to come a time, it's not going to be a pleasant time to be on planet earth. I sure hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ who's coming back. Because God's wrath's not going to fall on his people. It fell on his son on the cross of Calvary when he took our place and paid our price. So I can read this and sleep at night. I've seen the time some folks got really shook up. Don't show me that. Don't tell me that. That kind of stuff. You ever run across anybody like that? They're the proverbial ostrich with its head stuck in the sand. You know what I'm talking about? So I finished the chapter here. It's going to be, the heavens going to open like a scroll. The kings of the earth, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman. Oh, by the way, you know what a bondman is? In a sense, he's a slave. We got a lot of slavery talk in the news today. Slavery has been on planet earth almost from the beginning. So what was the greatest picture of slavery in the Bible? How about the Egyptians and the Jews? Sure. By the way, you want to buy a slave today? Get on an airplane, fly to a place, and then probably have to drive a little distance to Timbuktu. Anybody ever heard of Timbuktu? I think I mentioned Timbuktu to you. Mama used to say to us boys when we'd be giving her trouble, I'll send you to Timbuktu. I thought she made that up. Then I found out in school, I got to reading, and there's a place called Timbuktu, and it was the main slave center where the Arabs brought Africans out of the jungle, who were rounded up by their own other tribes they were fighting with and put on slave ships, took to the auction block, Timbuktu, sent from there to England, sent from there to America, and sent to other places around the world. Terrible time. But I read here that when the scroll opens up and the judgment of God begins to fall, there's still going to be bondmen on the earth. Did you ever think about that? That's what it says. Chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man, difference being bond and free. By the way, that's difference in what they're trying to make in America right now. Capitalism has freedom. Socialism has bondage. And that's what this political scene's all about. And a bunch of useful idiots about to vote to be bondmen, whether they know it or not. All right. See, when I read the scripture, I see too much of what's going on right in it, amen? Anyway, they're going to be afraid, panic. Say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We are under his love and mercy and grace right now, but the day of his wrath is coming. Time is up. We'll get a report here and have a few minutes break, and then we'll get the preaching service started. All right, we're showing about 4 or 5 present in Sunday school, 260 watching online, and 158 on buses, so thank God we're still having church. Amen.